Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Cade.
And you're listening to
Mysterious Mysteries 21.
We'll be discussing Yorktown Asylum in Texas today.
Some of the material we will be talking about today is very graphic.
So listener discretion is advised, so sit back,
relax,
and enjoy. So, I did digging on something ghost-related and with a somewhat dark history. And I came up with Yorktown here in Texas. So, the land between San Antonio and the Gulf of Mexico is prepared for a tiny albite?
Albeit.
Sure, we'll go with that word. Towns. While each definitely has its own hometown charm, Yorktown, Texas offers a bit extra. So, Yorktown, this building on Main Street was built almost 150 years ago and is standing to this day. It's actually a historical museum now on East Main Street. So I think it's like right past Yorktown City Hall.
A historical asylum.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them have become
museums just to see what it was like in, you know, in a...
All right, so let me reiterate. It was a hospital, a memorial hospital, not an asylum.
Okay.
But later on, it kind of turns into one. All right, so just down the road going west, the town soon reveals one of its darkest characters from times gone by. Past Yorktown Creek and a few fast food joints flies a foreboding structure, the Yorktown Memorial Hospital. It stands with its arch entrance untouched by brush, which has had its way with the rest of the property. Built in 1950 by, you're not going to believe this, but two nuns.
Oh.
I was kind of shocked when I read that. So the history of Yorktown Hospital. All right, so of course it was built by two nuns. Its name paying homage to those from Yorktown who fought and lost their lives during World War II. The Felician Sisters of the Roman Catholic Church kept the hospital open until 1986, when another hospital opened up just a few miles away, thus putting Memorial Hospital out of business.
And that's when they said, bye, Felicia Sisters.
Right. During its time under the care of the nuns, the hospital is said to have lost over 500 patients in a 6-year span.
Yeah, no. If you ask me, that seems like it kind of needs to be shut down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a staggering number of fatalities for such a small building.
Oh, yeah. And in a short amount of time?
Yeah, 6 years. But it's no wonder why it's said to be plagued by wandering and restless spirits today. After the shutdown in the 80s, it opened once again to become a drug rehabilitation center. Until 1988. So it was shut down in 86 and then opened back up until 88. So it literally was 2 years and then got shut down again. So now,
why?
So not only do you have 500, and that's just what they have in documents of patients, but not only do you have 500 patients or more that have died in this hospital, but now you're going to bring drug addicts that could possibly OD in said hospital, raking that number up even higher.
Yeah, it's where it already seems like something's just off with everything in this place.
Yeah.
Around, you know, approximately about 500 people in 6 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then it gets shut down and reopened and then closed in 2 years. It didn't make sense to me.
And I couldn't find any information if they redid the inside or anything after it got shut down in 86 before it became the rehabilitation center. So I don't even know if they just opened the doors and said, all right, if you're on drugs, come here. We'll get you clean.
Seems like they would have done some renovation to it.
You would think. I couldn't find anything. I couldn't even find blueprints of this place.
Oh, wow.
But as you could probably guess, this definitely didn't help with the bad energy of the place.
Oh, yeah.
So, Yorktown Memorial Hospital and the people who ventured inside have been tormented by spirits in of this desolate building. So, there have been a lot. Holy cow.
So, is it just like, to some extent, just like scratches or noises or...
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't read this. I literally just printed it out and here we are. So I'm just like you at this moment. I'm kind of learning as we're going. So there are plenty of stories about the true number of people who died in the hospital. The number is said to be around 2,000. This may or may not be true, but it sure is a testament to the amount of paranormal activities that occurred there. So, 500 when it was a hospital. And at 1,500... if it was the rehabilitation center, which that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, because it was only open for 2 years. What were, if it was at the rehabilitation center, were they just like, hey, come here, come on in, we'll get you clean, and shank.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I think, like I said before, I think maybe they didn't have all the records that showed how many people died when it was a hospital. So,
because that seems like an absurd number in about 2 years.
Yeah. So the building itself is made up of 30,000 square foot, which includes a basement, two wings on either side, a second floor that was strictly living quarters for those who worked there. And speaking of the employees, when it was a rehab facility, it was incredibly difficult to find and keep staff. This eventually led to its final closure, as those under its care couldn't control the few people working there. One of these was named Dr. Leon Norwersky. Norwersky? We're just going to call him Dr. Leon. So, lack of employees caused its final shutdown after 2 years, because they couldn't keep up with...
how,
especially a lot of people coming off drugs and stuff, that's rough. I can imagine having to deal with those patients.
Violent outbursts and
sweating, the screaming, the shakes. Clawing at your face, doing anything and everything you can to get your next fix.
Shaking so bad you can't hardly pick up a drink.
So Dr. Leon was one of the main medical professionals at the facility. He was an older gentleman and practiced medicine into his 90s. By the time of his retirement, he held the oldest medical license in Texas. Unfortunately, this did not mean patients were the safest under his watch. I should have.
Well, I would hope not, especially with the 500.
Well, I mean, they're saying 2,000 now.
Yeah, exactly. The 500 known.
Yeah. So the doctor became known for his fatal mistakes during operations. One such mistake entitled him accidentally slitting the throat of a patient while operating on his thyroid. I mean that's messed up, but how the hell do you accidentally slit a patient's throat?
Just like, okay, we're gonna make a small one, and he's dead. I'm sorry?
Unless he was, like, doing it when he was in his 90s, he had cerebral palsy, where he shakes all the time. And
like Parkinson's and actually...
Yeah, Parkinson's, that's the word I was looking for, thank you. But, how do you accidentally slit someone's throat?
Exactly, like, it's... That has to be, like, a conscious decision. Unless Parkinson's or something like that.
Like, that's crazy.
Which, I wouldn't put it past someone practicing medicine in their 90s.
I mean, we see it today. We see people in their 80s practicing medicine and still doing surgeries and... Alright, so, now we're going to get into some ghosts. So, apparently, there was one ghost named Stacy, who is a little girl. She is one of the most well-known and less frightening spirits there so far that people have said.
So, more or less one that's not gonna purposely hurt you unless you...
No, she's just gonna scare the shit out of you when you're walking around the hospital and you hear a little girl giggle and it echoes through the damn hallways.
That's your sign to just turn around.
So it's rumored to be one of the more interactive ghosts of the hospital. In life, her favorite book was The Pokey Little Puppy.
Never heard of that.
I have not either. She had the nuns read it to her often, according to some. The book was actually a gift given to her by none other than Dr. Leon, with a note from him written on the inside for her.
Do you know what the note said, or...?
I don't know. Damn, I should have done more research on this one. This is kind of interesting. I mean, if you want to Google it, maybe?
I can try.
The Stacy Ghost of Yorktown Hospital.
Oh, never mind.
Alright, so, he doesn't have service, but we're going to go on. So, in the afterlife, Stacy frequents several specific areas in the hospital. She is sometimes in her old room on the first floor, and other times she can be seen and heard playing in the basement hallways.
If that's not creepy...
No shit, why the hell is she in the basement? Usually kids are scared to go in a basement.
If I see a basement, I'm just like, I'm not going down there. Let alone as a kid.
So since you love story time, she can be enticed by sitting in the library reading her favorite book. Stacy, being the playful 8-year-old she was, is said to also roll a ball if one asks. Nope, screw that.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't mind going here, actually. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would. You want to go play in the basement, Brian?
Fuck that. So, the Felician sisters. So, the few nuns are also known to still be hanging around. So, we're still talking about spirits. All those stories of them aren't what you would expect. People who have investigated toured the hospital claim that the nuns can be violent. Visitors have been choked, scratched, or rushed at, and it seems particularly bad for those who have tattoos. Well, I'm screwed.
Yeah, same here.
One sister has been seen in a different spot around the building, and the photos of her in her habit have been caught as well. So I don't know what her habit is, but... So I did actually do a little research on the Felician sisters. I don't know if I have that. But, apparently, if you had tattoos, piercings, pretty much anything you did that... You
decorated your body.
Well, it's more into the Christian, like your body is your temple, and once you pierce it or scar it with ink, it becomes unpure. And apparently the nuns turned down a lot of people because of that incident. So if you had to go to the hospital when they were running the hospital, if you had tattoos, they either A, had to be covered up before they saw them, or B, if they saw them, they wouldn't see you. They would literally kick you out, even if you're on death's bed.
It does... Nowadays, that would not fly.
Oh, God, no.
No, you...
They would be sued like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't get sued back then. This was the 80s? No, 50s, 60s, and 70s?
We're surprised that people just didn't handle it themselves like that. Like, why? Just turning down people, you know, that need help just because of the way they look.
Yeah, they turned a lot of people away, apparently, and a lot of people died, like literally at the doorstep. There's actually a couple that died at the doorstep when it was a drug rehabilitation center as well, but we'll get to that here in a minute. So, sticking with the ghosts, we're going down to Doug Richards. A man by the name of Doug Richards is supposedly among the spirits active in this location. All that is really known about him is that he was a heavy-equipped mechanic who somehow died there in 1973. He roams the halls, and one will know it's him by his tall appearance and his white t-shirt and blue jean outfit. I did some research on him. I couldn't really find anything. I couldn't even find a death record for a Doug Richards in the area. I don't know if he was a mechanic for the hospital. I don't know if he went in there because he needed attention to something.
I would say probably attention, especially being like a heavy equipment operator. It would usually be like bulldozers or
that could be
something like that.
It could be anything, really.
True.
I mean, you drive a FedEx truck, that's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
It's heavy equipment. So during his time during the drug rehabilitation center, a young man, some called as TJ, came to the establishment seeking help. But when he rang the doorbell, no one answered. It's unknown if the bell simply wasn't working correctly or if the nurses on duty had fallen asleep. Either way, TJ didn't get the help fast enough and his body was found on the steps the next morning. Today, his apparition can be sometimes seen wandering the hall near the back door. Alright, so I actually did do a lot more research on TJ because that didn't sound right to me. So, apparently, he was a druggie and he was with two or three friends. I can't remember if it was two or three. And he started overdose. I think it was on heroin. It was either heroin or meth. But he started overdose. And so the friends brought him to the place, rang the doorbell, left him there, ran away so they didn't get caught or questioned or anything.
Yeah.
And apparently the doorbell didn't work and he OD'd on the front steps. And they didn't find him until the next morning.
And his friends didn't even just try knocking?
Nope. They rang the doorbell. It was a pull-string doorbell.
Oh.
And they pulled it and just darted. Like ding-dong ditch.
Yeah.
Just pretty much.
Ding. We're out.
Yeah.
And just... yeah. They didn't know no one was coming.
So they found him literally on the steps dead the next morning. He OD'd throughout the night. And then we go into double homicides.
What?
Yeah. Now we're getting into murder.
So we've got wrongful death.
Yeah.
We've got a creepy child ghost that plays in the basement and rolls balls when you read to her in the library.
Which I want to know where she came into it. Like, yeah. Was she there as a patient? Did she die there? Why is her spirit there? I couldn't find anything on her either.
And then we have the guy who OD'd on the doorstep. Yeah. And now double homicide.
And, well, I mean, these are literally the only ones that they have documented,
yeah,
opposed to the ones that literally died in the care of the nuns
while it was
operated as, yeah, a memorial hospital. So the most violent incident that occurred here truly left its mark on the place, and in the most literal way. The story goes that there was a love triangle between a female employee, a co-worker, and a patient. That's all messed up, all in one right there.
Doctor-patient confidentiality does not cover that.
I don't think we're going to get into that. In other versions of the account, it was a nurse and two patients. But in both cases, the woman was caught in the boiler room with one lover by the other. And the one who caught reacted horribly wrong.
Oh.
So, in here, let's see, it was a nurse and two patients. The woman was caught in a boiler room with one lover by the other. Okay, so she was caught cheating with a dude when her other dude
found her.
Okay. So, other dude that came in on them two, you know, getting at it in the boiler room, getting it hot and steamy. He stabbed the woman several times, killing her.
Well, I mean, it was already probably hot and steamy in there anyway. They're just adding to it.
So the man she was with managed to wrestle the knife away from the attacker and ended up stabbing him to death. Either in retaliation or self-defense. Blood splatter on the walls has remained there to this day. The caretaker of the building has claimed that he has had a forensically tested, and as a result is definitely human blood.
So the guy she was cheating on the other guy with, it was a double homicide, but not how you would think. Like, the guy came down there, saw him, and you'd think, well, at least I thought it was going to end up, was he was going to kill both of them, but no. He got, dude she was cheating on him with apparently pulled the Uno reverse card and said, no, you.
I don't know, that's all sorts of messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Why in the boiler room?
Exactly. It's already going to be, I guess because they thought no one was going to come down there.
Well, it also depends on the year, too, because back then they'd have to add wood to it to keep the building warm, so yeah. If that's where the heating source was.
Then that was just a dumb idea.
Yeah. So in past evidence, the hospital has also a host of other less identified apparitions and spirits, from orbs, shadow men. Nearly everything has been seen caught on camera at this haunted location. It's also known as a hotspot for capturing top-notch EVPs with many seasons yielding clear voices. So, you can actually go on YouTube, and there's actually a couple videos. I don't know how true they are, because with all the editing and shit you can do nowadays, but there was one on there. I don't remember which one it was and who did it, but it looked real, and it sounded real. But it could have been.
Only way to tell is to go find out.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to go here one day. That'd be awesome. Same. So shadows frequent the halls as well as the old ER OR rooms, and screams can be heard on occasion coming from the labor and delivering ward. Fuck that.
Yeah, no.
So one of the creepiest things a witness said that they saw: a battery-operated doll in the bedroom, which had been caught on camera responding accordingly to requests to laugh and converse without other interference. Some think the dolls are a way for Stacy or the spirits of other children to talk in there. I did a little research on that one as well. So, a lot of people have gone in there and lifted up some of these dolls, and the battery port pout, yeah, wherever you put your batteries and dolls and stuff, there's no batteries in them. And they would sit there and laugh and blink if they're the blinking dolls, yeah, or stuff like that, and talk without any kind of batteries or anything in them.
So it's kind of like a medium.
Yeah.
Which would still, I'm sorry, if I go in somewhere and there's a doll and it starts talking and blinking and I pick it up and there's no batteries in it, I'm getting off of out of wherever I am. I'm going to be like the Flash. I'm just going to... All right, I'm heading out.
Yeah, screw dolls that talk. Nuh-uh, I'm good.
Dolls are already kind of creepy as it is.
All right, so Ghost Adventures at Yorktown. So TV Ghost Adventures caught a lot of evidence of their investigations at Yorktown Hospital. Clear EVPs of the following was caught. So the dolls would be... they would say all of this: you want to play, it must be told, and I tell them you did it, it's sick, don't go in the bathroom, okay, get in there, the killer is coming, get to the hallway. That's... if I heard that, I'm dipping. Bye.
Yeah, just
screw that.
Especially the killer's in the killer's in the hallway. I don't care if I'm on second floor, I'm going out a window or wherever the nearest place to where someone can see me if I need help.
Yeah. So they also captured the bottom half of the figure whilst using their infrared still camera. Disembodied moaning and shuffling was also heard on several occasions. I wonder...
Yeah.
Because I looked that up. I did look that one up. And I couldn't find any kind of video or anything on that. So I don't even know if that's true or not.
Still, disembodied shuffling and moaning is a very good sign that you probably don't need to be there.
No.
Or, you know... Some people, you know, just, oh, let's go check it out. And then we wonder why there's missing people cases around certain haunted stuff.
Yeah. So visiting Yorktown Memorial Hospital, with roughly 2,000 record deaths on the property, the chance of witnessing a spirit of one of these is pretty high. The possible negative energy from pieces of original furniture and even blood from a violent altercation could be what ties these spirits even tighter to the building. Especially with the confrontation with that little love triangle.
Oh, yeah. Seal some of them in there. At least those three.
Yeah.
Well, two.
Yeah. So the Yorktown Memorial Hospital, from the faded red entry steps under the ominous Memorial Hospital, inscripted in the haunted chapel and basement, is without a doubt one of the most haunted places in the country. I'm going to say that's a no, only because I didn't know about this until like 2 weeks ago, and I'm into a lot of the haunted and ghosts and apparitions and poltergeist stuff like that, and I knew nothing of this place until recently.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it. I mean, usually when I hear of hauntings and stuff, it's usually more or less like insane asylums from like the 40s and 50s. And not memorial hospitals turned rehabilitation centers.
Yeah.
Like, this one, for me, is at least unexpected it to happen.
All right, so going back to the guy, TJ, who died at the front steps of overdose. So I actually did find my notes on that. It is said that he had died on the front steps of the hospital. He had overdosed on heroin and had been left there by his friends. They rang the bell hanging outside to alert the nuns that help was needed and then left. Unfortunately, this particular night, the bell was not heard and the man took his last breath on the steps of Yorktown Hospital. His ghost is believed to be the one primarily haunts this location, in addition to the loss of life and the high emotions experienced by drug addicts housed there. There have also been other tragedies. Blood is still on the basement walls from what we talked about, that triple murder that took place. And today the hospital said to host a number of ghosts. The nuns are still reside there. But
why didn't they try to clean the blood off walls? Or is it just, like, stained? Well, at this point it's definitely stained. But
there's other instances at... like murdered houses, that if a ghost is still there, you can repaint and repaint and repaint, and for some odd reason, it like seeps through the paint.
Yeah, kind of like just moves up a layer.
Yeah, and I've seen people spray blood with bleach, hydrogen peroxide, repaint over it, the stain constantly comes back. So, I don't know if they tried to clean it. I would assume they would, because they had the, what do you call them? People that come in and clean crime scenes. Well, let's call them cleaners. They had cleaners back then. So, because for some reason, the 50s, 60s, and 70s was the highest time period for serial killers, murders, and massacres. 70s being very crucial in the serial killer part.
Just
because a lot of serial killers that I know about started in maybe the late 60s and into all of the 70s and was either caught or killed or something by early to mid 80s.
Yeah.
Every time.
Which, nowadays it's not that bad. It's not as much because got to be, you know, a lot more like forensic evidence and DNA testing and everything. Whereas back then, people could get away, you know, with maybe killing 4 or 5 people before they're caught, before they finally be like, okay, this is the guy that did it.
Mm-hmm. So shadow people have been witnessed and voiced that some have come from nowhere, have been heard. A hospital in Yorktown has become a popular destination of paranormal investigators who wish to capture evidence of the paranormal, and who has even been featured on an episode of Ghost Adventures, like we talked about earlier. But Yorktown, like many other hospitals, have seen its share of tragedy and death, but a lot of people say there seems to be something darker and more ominous about Yorktown. So, that has helped make it one of the most highly active paranormal places on Earth, which again, I'm not gonna agree with that. There's other places as well.
Like, maybe they... Yeah, like, I haven't heard of this place up until now.
I mean, whenever I first was starting to look into it, I mean, we live here in Texas, and yeah. I never heard of it. And if I did hear about it, I mean, they probably never said Yorktown. They just said Memorial Hospital.
Yeah.
But even the stuff that happened there, the nuns, I mean, that's kind of something you would remember. Yeah. Nuns building a memorial hospital. So.
It's something that, you know, it feels like it would be more known.
Yeah. But
apparently not.
So, I mean, they're doing tours of it now. I mean, it's a historical marker in Yorktown now because how old it's been there. And but they do tours now. I want to say I saw something that during Halloween they do something there, like a haunted house kind of thing.
Haunted house and a haunted hospital.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Hey, at least it's authentic.
Yeah, it's authentic, that's for sure. But that's all you need to do is piss off some ghosts, because ghosts can turn into poltergeists.
Now, if they do haunted houses there, that better scare the crap out of me, or I wouldn't know.
So, 40 years, there's over 2,000 deaths. That's...
It's insane.
Yeah. That's just in one hospital. That's not like, you know, the whole state of Texas or Maine or...
Yeah. Like, and... You know, with the world's population now, that's like a very small number nowadays. But still, it's 2,000 people that just died at this hospital.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, this hospital, what did it say, 30,000 square foot, which yeah, most hospitals now range from like 120 to 180,000 square feet. So, I mean, this was considerably a very small hospital. Yeah. And, I mean, one floor was literally just for the workers themselves.
Yeah, that was the second floor.
Yeah. So... I mean, that is kind of a high death count for such a tiny hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, I did a... There's a chapel that's also in this hospital, which a lot of hospitals do have chapels in them.
Yeah.
But this one, apparently, there are two ghosts that haunt it, and one can be, if I remember correctly, one can be heard saying, "Praying doesn't work." Whenever you walk in there at like a certain time, I think it's like 3 a.m. in the morning, you hear praying doesn't work.
And wouldn't that be around witching hour?
Yeah. Yep. 3 a.m. is the witching hour. There have been a piano that was in the main hall would play randomly all throughout the night. And... I mean, now, I mean, you can look at the picture I'm looking at. You can see all the keys are all messed up and stuff. So could you imagine walking down the halls and hearing a piano hit a bunch of off-key notes?
Just turn around and walk away, but nope.
But
especially since it's a lot creepier, especially knowing it probably hasn't been tuned in
a very long time.
Oh yeah,
I mean at least the 80s.
Hearing off-key piano music, you know, hearing the girl playing downstairs, and then walking into the chapel and praying doesn't work. It's kind of a sign that you probably don't need to be there.
Yeah. So Yorktown is in between San Antonio and the Gulf of Mexico. I wonder where exactly that is. I'm gonna have to look that up. Cause I really do want to go there. All right, so. This building is almost 150 years old, standing to this day. Am I doing the math wrong in my head, or it was built in the 50s? So from 1950 to 2000 is what, 50 years?
Well, they might have had it smaller before then. And then added on to it to make the actual Memorial Hospital.
Yeah.
So that the original part of the building could probably be about 150. And then the date that's on there when it was built, probably just whenever they finished everything.
It's possible. Well, I mean, no, the hospital was founded by the group of nuns. And to serve the local area at the time. There was no nearby hospital. The nuns acquired the land and the grants needed to fund the construction. Although the intentions were good on the part of the nuns, they had no idea what the future held in this new place. So,
yeah,
it wasn't there. It was a complete, from the ground up, construction.
Yeah.
So, how are they getting 150 years old when it was built in 1950?
Yeah, it'd be about 70 or about 70.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that'd be about 60 to 70 years old instead of 150.
I don't know. That doesn't make sense. So, would you want to go to this place at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I would, but at the first sign of anything, I'm like the Flash, I'm bolting.
So you wouldn't go there by, would you go there by yourself at 3 o'clock in the morning? Like,
by myself? No.
You wouldn't do it?
No, probably not.
Oh, I would. I'd be scared shitless, but I'd do it. Oh, yeah. Because I've never really seen, like, an apparition or shadows or... I mean, I believe that they're there. I just don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I believe in ghosts. I've never witnessed anything paranormal, really.
The only thing paranormal I've witnessed is where I lived in Louisiana. There's a place called the Ellerby Road School. It's torn down now.
Okay.
Well, it used to be run down before they tore it down, overgrown from nature and everything. Right. And it was one of the big places known to be haunted in the area that everyone, when they're teenagers, go, they try to go through it and everything. And usually most of them come back out, you know, perfectly fine. Well, there is one night when I was there, I was there with my brother and his few of his friends while I was driving the car. And just waiting because there was the groundskeeper that would walk around with a shotgun with rock salt in it.
Oh, that shit hurts too.
And I'm sitting there waiting, and it's been about 15-20 minutes, and it's like midnight at this point. And I'm just sitting there, just doing whatever I want in the car, and then I notice headlights just cut off, come back on, and then dim down to like parking, but the headlights in this car were always on. Like, there, it was either you turn the key off and they go off, or as soon as you start, they come on. And it just cut off, came back on, and then dimmed back down. I was just I called and I was like, hey, nah, get back. I'm not staying here that much longer.
Well, like, I mean, is the place itself, like, inside the building haunted, or is it, like, the grounds?
Apparently the grounds, it's their cells are, because there's two different stories mm-hmm. of why it's haunted. One is a kid got lost outside playing because it wasn't fenced in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of people died trying to find it. And the other story is that there was a fire in the school that killed a bunch of kids.
It was always the best.
And so there's two different stories, but no one's ever really actually came out and said what it is, which one it was actually it.
Yeah. And I didn't mean that's always the best whenever it comes to kids dying. I didn't mean it like that. Like, that's always the best, like, ghost stories is, you know, kids, because apparently they have more of an energy than older people.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Like, if you go through it and you see the pictures and stuff, I have a few pictures from whenever we went later on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see, like, people hanging. Like, what looks like a shadow of someone hanging, or baby dolls in areas. And it's just like, oh, no. Because this was a full-on, like, school.
Wow. I think the closest, I guess, I could say I've ever been to witnessing anything paranormal. I was living in Colorado at the time. It was me and my two brothers and my two sisters, my mom and my dad. I think it was about 6 or 7, maybe? I mean, I personally didn't experience, my mom did. And she told us later on, but we lived in a log house in Colorado, and me and my brother slept downstairs, and the rest of the family slept upstairs. I think Tandy had the room, it's like past the washroom into like this little cubby. It looked like a storage room almost, but
yeah,
it turned into a bedroom. No windows. It was a weird room. But my mom would always say that she would always come downstairs because she was mad, because she could hear me and my brother Nick running up and down the stairs, and we were dead asleep.
Yeah, no.
And then when we moved to Texas, when I was 11, I believe, we moved to, the town I talked about, in the last episode, Days Out of Texas. Lived in it was a nice house. It was big. 4-bedroom, 2-living-room, big kitchen, formal dining, which was my room. But it had doors that blocked off. But, I don't remember which one of my sisters it was, but they were staying in the very far back bedroom at the very end of the house. And one of them woke up, and I don't even know if I'm telling the story right. It's happened so many years ago. And saw a girl standing on the side of her bed just staring at her. And then, if I remember correctly, she screamed, ran out, and it was gone, and they came back. Eventually, my mom and dad switched bedrooms, and they took that bedroom, and then we never really heard anything else after that. I think I was probably the closest I've been to paranormal activity, but to actually witness it, see it firsthand, that hasn't happened yet. Except when I used a Ouija board for the first time and screw a bunch of that. I'll never do that again. Never, ever bring a Ouija board to a cemetery. Ever.
No.
That's bad juju all over the place. Just don't do that. Don't ever do that. That was my stupidity when I was younger.
It's like going to a football game and saying, hey, I have free beer.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're not going to be safe for very long.
No. So.
Isn't it said on the back that most Ouija boards burn after use?
I don't know. I never really looked at the back. It was one of my friend's Ouija board. It was one of the ones you used to get at, like, Kmart, when Kmart's were a thing.
I remember a few years back, they started selling Ouija boards at Walmart, and I was just like, nope,
I mean, a lot of people don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those party tricks. You know, someone's moving the planchette, and no, I'm not taking that chance.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I believe everything paranormal, and I don't want anything attached to me.
Exactly.
So, anything else on Yorktown Hospital, Mr. Cade?
No, I don't think so. I just think it's so many deaths in the relatively, short amount of time.
6 years. 2,000 deaths. Well, not including the when it turned into the rehabilitation center.
And then the nuns just turning away effectively whoever they didn't like.
I wonder what happened to the nuns after they shut it down.
Did they stay there, or...
It doesn't say. That Dr. Leon dude,
he stayed.
Yeah, he stayed there, and, accidentally slitting people's throats and shit. But...
Yes, while I was operating on his thyroid, I accidentally cut his throat. What?
I wonder what happened to the nuns. I wonder if...
Yeah.
I mean, apparently they're still... they still feel the presence of them, and they see them, and if you go in there with tattoos or piercings, you get pushed and yanked and tugged, and not in a good, fun way either. So...
If I ever go over there, just remind me to wear a hoodie.
I don't think a hoodie's gonna work.
I mean...
They're kind of dead. They can kind of, go through material.
True, but also said people would cover up before they go in there to get treatment, which I don't know how they would feel. I don't know what the nuns would do if they went in there and I have a cut on my side, and then they take the hoodie off, and then they
Well, what I read is the nuns pretty much just ran it, they did all the cleaning, and I want to say they had the doctors there, their nurse practitioners. So, I want to say that people that did have tattoos would have to, they would cover them up when entering the building so the nuns wouldn't see them and turn them away. And as soon as they got into the room, the nuns didn't go into the rooms until after the patients was released so they can clean the room or if they died. Another interesting thing, most hospitals have morgues. This one did not.
So they would just have to call. So they would have had to call the coroner or another morgue to come pick up all these people.
Yeah. Either that or they buried them on site. But there's no evidence proving they did or didn't. So I don't know. But most hospitals have morgues. When I was doing the research on it,
if they did end up calling a coroner for everybody, I think that, someone at the coroner's office or the local morgue would have been like, hey, 911, this place is, putting in a lot of calls. a lot.
I'm sure police would have definitely been...
All over it.
Oh, yeah. They had to have been. So, I don't know what they did with all the dead bodies. There's no... I couldn't find any research on that, so...
If they were burying them on site, that would definitely explain the amount of activity that they state's going on there.
Yeah. All right, so anything else you want to add? Anything you want to discuss?
Not on this one. This one has been actually pretty fun. I didn't even know about this place.
Yeah, I didn't either until I did the research on it. I was actually kind of intrigued, especially when I found out that nuns ran it.
Yeah.
Alright, so we are on Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Google Podcast, Breaker, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcast, and another one I can't think of at the moment, and...
We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Mysterious Mysteries 21.
Yeah, so if there's anything y'all want us to talk about in the future, any ideas, send us a shout, let us know, and we will definitely... talk about it and see if maybe we want to dive into it. But we have quite a bit of things we're going to be talking about for a while. I think we're up to 29 different subjects now. I had to cut some because there wasn't a whole lot of research on them. So. Yeah. But it's fine. But so like us, follow us, and message us. And yeah. We will talk at y'all next time.
Talk to y'all later.